This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to The Extra Point Show from the Just Call Jed Studios. Injured? Call Jed.com. WGR Sports Radio 550.
J.J. Paterka, Tage Thompson. He's making a lane. Thompson dishes off, scores. What a return feed from Paterka as Tage Thompson buries it. That was beautiful. And the Sabres have taken a 3-0 lead here in Ottawa. You said be patient.
Yep.
You said be patient.
Yep.
It was one of Rob's keys to the game, actually.
Oh, man.
And that makes it even better. Like, that's why Dan Dunleavy brought that up. Dan Dunleavy, Rob ran the call there as Tage Thompson and J.J. Paterka combine for probably one of the nastier goals that you're going to see, especially to end the season. And Tage is already cutting through, like, a hot knife through butter. And then J.J. taps his stick as he's hanging around on the right side and Ullmark's left. And the defenseman didn't know what to do. Like, number three for Ottawa, he just, like, he starts trying to chase Paterka, but then he goes inside for where Thompson is. Then he gets turned around, and he tries to go back toward Paterka. Before number three on Ottawa turns around...
That would be Nick Jensen.
Nick Jensen. The puck has gone to Paterka and then back to Thompson and into the net before Jensen turns around.
Yeah, it's a perfect play.
He is looking at fans when that pass goes back and forth.
It's a perfect play. It's a gorgeous goal. Good for Tage's 39th on the year.
Speaking of fans on that goal, by the way, there's a screenshot of Tage after that goal, like leaning against the glass, waiting for everyone to skate to him.
Yeah.
And there's an Ottawa fan like shooting daggers at him.
He's shooting like I thought he was shooting down. Daggers at JJ at first of like, why did you make me pass this? But like his facial expression was interesting on that goal.
Oh man.
Of okay, that was nasty. Like you should be hype, and he really wasn't. But
it was still an unbelievable goal. Again, good for Tage's 39th on the year. He is, I think the rate he is playing, he's gonna get well past 40 here.
Let's go for 50.
Let's get nuts.
I like it crazy.
I like it.
Let's get nuts.
They are playing well. We've had this conversation a lot this week of just is it like the last few years where they play really well to end the year and then it falls apart to start the next year. I will say, though, seeing guys like Jack Quinn go on a 5-game point streak really to sort of salvage what was a bad year by him.
It is interesting how streaky this team is, especially this year. When I say streak, you think 13. They also started this month with a 6-game losing streak. They have now won 5 of their last 6, almost to make up for that folly.
Yep.
But where does it put them? No longer in last place in the Eastern Conference. And I say it more about screw you, Boston, more than anything. But I also think that it has to do with, good, Give me something. This is something we've been saying over the last 2 weeks that really is kind of the question of what do you want to see from them? I want to see something that I can go ahead and go, we can have a different conversation about blank.
Mm-hmm.
We can have a different conversation about Jack Quinn. We can have a different conversation about James Reimer. We can have a different conversation about J.J. Paterka. We can have, like, and more of that is, like, is he a true fixture on this team, or is he going to be someone that you need to trade to help with an upgrade?
Mm-hmm.
We can have the same conversation about adding a top four defenseman. You need to do it. That is the same conversation. I want to have a different conversation about Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, but we're not going to see him for a little bit here. Saturday, they'll probably play Reimer again. And then Luukkonen probably gets the back-to-back.
Yeah, Reimer, you have to play the hot hand. 33 saves yesterday off 35 shots against. I'm at a point, too. One-year deal, bring him back. He might be your veteran presence that you're looking for. He's playing really well. The team plays well with him in net recently. And as I brought up, it kind of all comes down to Levi. If Levi can come up after having, you've mentioned about a year and a half. I'm throwing out two.
Yeah.
But about a year and a half in Rochester where he's played excellent hockey, and you add that top four defenseman, it's not a ton of moves to all of a sudden get very excited about him.
I don't think it has to do with Levi at all. I think they'll start him in Rochester next year, point blank, period. Because, ready? Yeah, he's looked stellar in Rochester.
Mm-hmm.
What did he do in Buffalo this year?
No, it's been bad. That's the frustrating part with Levi. It's not been average to, okay, we can work with this. It's been, oop, nope, go right back down.
It's go oh, right no, back we, down. We need to make sure that we don't ruin him.
Yep.
They're starting in Rochester. The question is, can you rely on Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen to start more than like 40 games for you next year? And if my answer is no, I don't think James Reimer's the call.
Mm-hmm.
I think Reimer is good for giving you a solid 25 in a season. If I need 40 out of a goaltender, I need more than that.
Yeah.
I need more than Reimer.
Levi this year, by the way, in his nine games with Buffalo, save percentage well under 900, 872. His goals against, 412. But that's the thing, is when he comes up to Buffalo, it has been bad.
Yeah. And oddly enough, the thing that we kind of like snarkingly say is Devin Levi's greatest impact is that it pisses UPL off mm-hmm. and he plays better. Because Levi in net this year was, I don't want to say the word travesty, but I might. And yet, at the same time, he has a save percentage that is relatively close to Luukkonen this year.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it still has to do with, I don't trust my starting goaltender on the penalty kill.
At all.
I don't trust Luukkonen on the penalty kill. And if I have special teams that drag my team to hell again next year, I don't know what I'm going to do.
Was that what? Well, it's been the last 2 years. Yes. I've used it the last 2 years.
That's what I'm
They've
saying.
Been harmful to the roster and how they've been able to perform.
It has lost them seasons. Yeah. 2 years ago is a lost season. This year is a lost season because mm-hmm. of what could have been. Last year was just kind of dreadful all around. Last year was they could not string three wins together to save their lives.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I look at this team and I go, they do put stretches together. They do have win streaks of three or even more. They do win, say, 5 of 6. They put those stretches together now this year. But what's the difference? Say they go on this miracle run. And they fall short ultimately, right? The 13-game streak is prorated
mm-hmm.
and adjusted for a worse version of Wild Card 2, but also just as harmful as the 8-game winless streak 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Damn.
But ultimately, I guess
it's
my thing
is the fact
is
that it's adjusted
yeah.
for how bad the East is this year for Wild Card 2.
Mm-hmm.
The Sabres are still out of it.
They're still out of it.
Because that losing streak was adjusted to be that much uglier. If it's an 8-game losing streak and they win a couple of games, they're in a playoff spot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, say they win two games out of that 13. We are in a much different tone about the Buffalo Sabres today.
They're not ultimately that convincing, but we don't care, right? I mean, like,
we don't care.
And that's fine.
Because they're in the mix mm-hmm. for something that they had no business being in. Because, again, eight games, that's five results that I have a chance to change.
Mm-hmm.
And say, ready? I change one of them. That's 2 points up. And 2 points up, yeah, that you say 2 points up, that's not that great. 2 points up puts you right above Pittsburgh and Philly, who you're projected to be ahead of anyway based on A, games in hand, and B, how you're playing. If you change two results, say it's an eight-game losing streak, and those other five games, they win two of them.
Mm-hmm.
You're already ahead of the Islanders again. You have to vault Detroit, the Rangers, the Blue Jackets, and the Canadiens. Can you do it? You have eight games left. Find a way.
Yep.
And especially with how you're playing right now, find a way.
Mm-hmm. Because you're playing well. Everything seems to be clicking. Go do it. Now, it does make the beginning of March much more painful.
Oh, yes.
The six-game losing streak to open up what would be maybe the biggest month in the last 2 years. That would have not been great.
But you see the team now dialing in.
Yeah.
And the difference in 4 points is... it's in reach.
Yeah, and maybe that six-game losing streak itself doesn't happen because they are closer in reach.
Around the league, I'm looking and going, you guys seriously let the Sabres back in the conversation?
Mm-hmm.
But that's because there were two outcomes changed in a 13-game losing streak. 4 points is the difference. And that turns into, you let a team with an eight and a six-game losing streak
get back in it.
Get back in it? Are you kidding me?
But ultimately, I guess where I get frustrated almost immediately with that conversation is, number one, we've had it before,
yes,
where these losing streaks have ended seasons, but also, even to the goaltender point, where do they even go?
And that's my problem, that, like, I'm critical of Kevin Adams. I do not envy his position here of trying to figure out what to do at goaltender.
Because UPL last year, for half a year, showed you he was a number one goalie. He did. He has shown you how great he is. Devon Levi was historically good.
For a whole year.
For a whole year. Thank you.
He showed you.
For Devon Levi, arguably one of the greatest college goalies of all time. And then when he's in Rochester, he's equally as great. But when he comes up to Buffalo, we've already talked about it, he's been really bad.
Yes.
And then UPL this year, when, as you mentioned it, when the specter of Devon Levi seems to vanish and go away, he's been dreadful. And so, well, yes, they are bad moves. I think at the time you'd argue they really haven't been. At the time, you would argue, hey, okay, Levi. We took a call, I think, earlier this week.
Yes.
About him and the idea of bringing him up and how bad that decision was. I don't think that decision is made unless Levi has those seven games he did when the last time the Sabres were close to the playoffs and making that run.
He makes that run toward
the playoffs. He goes 5-2 and is their best goalie.
Yes.
And I think that's what solidified... you're coming up. You are ready for the spotlight, clearly.
And Lukanen.
And then he wasn't.
And Lukanen's numbers were dreadful that year, too.
Mm-hmm.
He played 33 games. He started 32 of them, and he went 17-11. But it was a 3.61 goals against, which is worse than what it is this year.
Yeah.
Like, it was not looking pretty. He was, because early on that year, he was like kind of getting wins, and you're like, how?
It's just,
but then ultimately, he's so bad that mm-hmm. Levi comes in straight out of college and is their best goaltender. And then Lukanen has, it is a career year
mm-hmm.
on 51 starts. This year with 52 starts, his numbers are back to where they were 2 years ago. His save percentage is worse.
Mm-hmm.
His goals against is better, 3.23 against a 3.61. But his save percentage is worse. And now if you look over the stretch of his entire career, he's an 8.98 save percentage goaltender in his career right now.
With that, the last year being the true outlier.
Do I trust a player like this with another full season as the starter? Unquestioned.
Mm-hmm. No.
Well, and that's where ultimately my kind of point comes to here, and I don't really know the answer. Where do you go from here? What do you do that gives any sort of confidence? Because not just in the fan base, but in the roster. They can score like the wind. Every team around them in the East, they have way more goals for. But it's goaltending that they're not getting consistent enough. That's where James Reimer, at 37 years old, looks significantly better than Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. But because of, you know, the three goaltender era that we just came out of, you can't go back into that.
It is disgusting that they're fourth in the East in goals for.
Yeah.
Fourth.
But you can't go back to the three goaltender era. You can't. But you signed UPL, and I still don't really blame that contract. He gave you a career year. Goalies are weird. You sign it when you got it. It's like pitching in baseball. You get it when you can get it.
And you're not going to let youth walk out the door for nothing.
No.
So Lukanen's career year put them in a bad spot and in an awkward spot because Levi showed he wasn't quite ready.
Mm-hmm.
And Luukkonen played the best season of his career. And how easy is it to acquire a starter that can then, like, but also if you're getting that kind of guy, Levi's not touching the ice for you ever again, probably.
I think you have to trade Levi if you're going to go make that big split. Remember what last year, the Connor Hellebuck discussions?
Yes.
People didn't want to discuss like the idea that, no, if you get Hellebuck, you're trading Levi.
Yes.
That experiment's done. He goes to Winnipeg, you get Hellebuck. You don't get both. But I don't really think there is no goaltender trade idea up there right now.
John Gibson was the other name, and like, that's a shorter-term one.
Mm-hmm.
But again, Anaheim's not going to do that.
No.
Matter of fact, they did the opposite. They claimed James Reimer to start the year because Gibson was coming back from injury. If the Sabres didn't rent James Reimer out and Devin Levi ends up starting in Rochester to begin with, you have a chance to alter a 2-7 record. What did I tell you about the points race?
Yeah.
If you alter, say you get to average 4-4-1. It's 5 points.
Mm-hmm.
You are right behind the Rangers and Blue Jackets, and you're 4 points away from Montreal. Every little bit matters.
And perfectly honest, going back to that losing streak, the Colorado game, which I know our Paul Hamilton...
Which Colorado game?
Well, the first one. That one where they blow the lead, the whole thing. I know Paul Hamilton has...
regulation.
Yeah, has mentioned pretty openly that like that's the night the Sabres season ended. It was early, but realistically looking back at it, because then they do go on a lengthy losing streak, including losing the next game, Winnipeg, 3-2. Another regulation loss, but a one-goal game.
Because when the losing streak started, it was kind of promising of losses.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were... against a couple of teams in ways that, like, it was 1-0 against Minnesota. Luukkonen shined, but they just could not get a goal.
Yep.
And then Vancouver, they stole a point that they had no business getting. Dylan Cousins takes a penalty. They relinquish the lead, and then Cousins makes up for it and helps them force overtime. Then they don't touch the puck in overtime and yada, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. They lose to the Islanders because what else is new? And then Colorado happens.
Even that,
that's loss four on the losing streak.
Even the Minnesota game, that first loss, is that Thanksgiving Eve, I think?
Yeah.
They lose 1-0, and they're pelting the goalie with shots.
It was a great game that they got goalied in. Luukkonen was great. It was just, you got out-dueled.
Yeah, puck luck.
Not even puck luck. You got out-dueled.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it is.
Detroit, 5-6. You were leading that game 5-3 going into the third. You lose in a shootout.
Yep.
I mean, there's a few games here where it's not that impossible to say a little bit better goaltending. The team in the beginning of the year was horrendous at taking ill-timed penalties. Or, perfectly honest, my favorite thing, the power play being actively harmful.
Yep.
I don't think they need a teardown. Surprisingly, and while I would still probably, if you ask me now, fire the GM, they don't need a ton of moves to change. I just don't know where these moves are coming from. The goaltender is so difficult to acquire unless you have them.
The goaltender is difficult. What helps goaltenders while also helping the team make
right,
it, though?
The top four defensemen.
I need a second-pairing defenseman to pair with Owen Power so that he can kind of let loose a little bit. I need Power to be better defensively, too.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I saw a glimpse of that last night. There's a play where Shane Pinto gets around Samuelson, and he's about to cut around and try to get past Reimer, who's got the stick down, trying to do everything he can from an easy backhand shovel in.
Mm-hmm.
Who's there to interrupt having to lift the backhand? Owen Power.
Yep.
Power makes a great defensive play on this one that it's like, that's what we need to see consistently from you. Be there, making the right plays in your own zone because it's needed. I will not sit here and tell anyone that Owen Power is a problem or that they need to get rid of him. As a matter of fact, if you say that, you don't know ball.
I don't know puck, but yeah.
I'm saying it the way I'm saying it. But what I'm going to tell you, though, is I will agree that in his own end, you do need to be better.
He's got
to
be better. Yep.
He does have to be better. And what were people saying about Rasmus Dahlin at the start of his career in Buffalo? Mm-hmm. He needs to be nastier. He needs to be better defensively. That comes with time. Defensemen are not savants in their own end to start their career.
Mm-hmm.
They're not.
No.
It is a way of life. Aaron Ekblad was not Aaron Ekblad right away. Victor Hedman was not a dominant defenseman in his own end right away when he started off the jump at number 2 overall. These are natural things. Rasmus Dahlin, one of the most touted prospects, defensive prospects, in years. He was not good in his own end for a little while. Ralph Krueger almost killed his career.
Well, and but that's the thing, too. The Sabres themselves have not helped always the development of these guys, whether it be their line partners and having to do too much to make up for a bad player, bad coaching, and putting them in terrible spots.
So I'm going to tell people, like, if you're worried about Owen Power, I'm going to tell you don't. Settle down a little bit. The guy does have good impacts with scoring, and especially with puck distribution. He should be on the second power play, honestly.
You'd like to see it get better. That's one of my things, though, with coaching, too.
I think that's how it gets better.
That, I think, is an easy move to make. You switch up some of the coaching, especially with the special teams. You may be winning some of those games we mentioned in the 13-game losing streak, even without good goaltending, because you don't go 0-for-4 on the power play.
As a matter of fact, like defensively, Owen Power has not been a true mess of a player until like this year, really.
Mm-hmm.
He's been okay.
Yeah.
He's been great. But this year, it's been bad.
Yep, this year has been bad.
This year, you need him to be better based on what you're seeing this year.
Mm-hmm.
But do not come at me, or anyone else for that matter, and say that Owen Power needs to be traded or he needs to be moved on from. Because then I'm never going to take you seriously. And nor should anyone else. But he doesn't hit enough. If he's making smart plays with his stick, who cares? If he's making smart plays to body a person off, I'm not worried about it. Does he need to grow into his frame? Yes. And when I say that, I mean mentally grow into his frame.
Mm-hmm.
He's 22.
Yep.
Not everyone knows what to do with their body right away.
We
like
hear
that
a lot with Brandon Bean talking about Keon Coleman, who's just a year younger. 21 years old. Let's not forget that.
Yes. So let's settle down, take a breath, and see if Owen Power can actually grow into his role.
803-0550, the number to call. What are your thoughts on what the Sabres need to do? They win again. They're making it maybe interesting to end the year, but we've been there and done this before.
I hate it so much.
We've been there. We've done this.
I hate it so much.
We've read this book before, but what are your thoughts on what they need to do in this offseason, or really even just maybe the rest of the year to maybe make this interesting? Again, 803-0550, the number to call. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR.